Thanks so much for coming. You're an expert on these subjects, I've heard. Professor Haley, correct?
Correct. I am Professor Haley. I'm a professional in the studies of Africa, and more specifically, the Democratic Republic of Congo.
So before we get into it, I'd like to know what the Democratic Republic of Congo was like before.
Of course. So the Democratic Republic of Congo, also known as the DRC, was in place before everything happened for at least 100 years. They had their own religion and economy. For example, they had the Mani Congo, which is a person chose to lead by the clan leaders. They sat on a throne and had to be approached on all fours. They marked their time by the lunar month and a four-day week. The first of the week was a holiday, which is ironic because we hate the first days of holidays, of weeks now. The kingdom did have slavery, and the king controlled taxes and, of course, currency.
And they just are having a happy life?
Right.
So what happens next?
What happens next, the Europeans approached the Mani Congo, to which the Mani Congo greeted kindly. The Portuguese began to build churches and mission schools with the intentions of civilizing less developed countries. The Portuguese then noticed the leading state on the west coast of Central Africa that seemed to be sophisticated and well-developed. The Mani Congo appointed governors for each or some half-dozen provinces. Inhabitants made jewelry and weapons and clothing and food. They even raised pigs and cattle along with goats. Belgian King Leopold was, however, really the start of what happens next. He came to power in 1865. He assumed that colonies could give Belgium wealth. He created something called the International African Association. King Leopold claimed it to be charitable and to improve Native Americans' lives.
And how did he plan on doing that exactly?
Leopold was a convincing man. He even took the time to set goals, including converting them to Christianity and to end the slave trade with the Muslim groups in Africa. He sent someone to do those things, which they did mostly accomplish. However, he came into the hands of millions of square miles of Central Africa to Belgium. Eventually, he did not want to spend any more money trying to maintain the colonies because they were overall just too big of a distance. In 1884 to 1885, European powers held the Berlin Conference, the intentions to establish rules for the colonization of Africa. Leopold was unfortunately given control of the region. He named it Congo Free State.
And what did he continue to do with this free state?
Well, first off, he ignored all the guidelines and began to take advantage. Goods like tires and rubber were now desired largely. The Native Americans were forced to produce ivory and rubber, and King Leopold kept it on hush. He killed and mutilated people who didn't have enough, even burning down villages.
What were the culture and government's impact on these things?
Well, the governance was no longer a local kingdom. It was completely ruled by King Leopold. The cultural impacts were completely different. Nobody could practice their own religions and traditions, which meant a culture change. People were basically forced into Christianity.
And what about the economical impacts?
There was a loss of over 10 million people. The king was practically a slave among his followers. And the children began to go hungry. And then there also starts to be forgotten cultures and religions.
When did the DRC finally receive their independence?
The Congo received their independence around 1960. The Congolese people fought back against the Belgian people until they had no option but to give in.
What were the legislators of colonization?
What were the legacies, you mean? The legacies of colonization. Well, the DRC, Rwanda, and Burundi, I think is how it's pronounced, still remain poor and suffer from a weak economy as well as lost culture.